From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey.
There's a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall and the bells in the steeple too. And up.
For the past decade or so, there's been a story that just about every journalist in Illinois has covered, and it has to do with what's happening to the population of our state.
Regretfully, they tell us, but firmly they compel us to say
more and more people are leaving our state.
People have been leaving Illinois for years.
More than 45,000 people moved out of Illinois last year.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say goodnight.
We're learning today that in the past year, more people have left Illinois than any other state in a 12-month period.
Illinois is one of only three states to have lost population in this last census.
More than almost any other state in our country.
Minus 13,757.
More than 800 residents. Springfield lost 1,500. Champaign-Urbana lost 234. And Danville lost almost 8,000.
The headlines, Illinois exodus, residents flee, and okay, I'm playing this a little tongue-in-cheek with the music, but a funny thing happened on the U-Hauls to California, Texas, Florida, Wisconsin, and Indiana. They passed other people on their way to Illinois, or maybe they passed hospitals in which new Illinoisans were being born. This stuff is complicated, we'll get into that. But it turns out the bottom line is that with the census count released this year, Illinois' net population loss was not nearly as bad as many of us had been led to believe. Today we're going to dig into the what, who, and why of the census numbers. And to be sure, even though things weren't as bad as predicted, they're still not great, right? Illinois did lose population while most states gained. And that is going to cost us one seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, one vote in the Electoral College in future presidential elections. And as you get into the numbers, precisely who is leaving Illinois is also an interesting story. Short version, it's mostly white people who are saying goodbye. To talk more about this, we're joined now by Sherry Taylor. She's a senior research specialist at Northern Illinois University's Center for Governmental Studies. Sherry, welcome to the 21st.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And I see this conversation is taking place really in two parts. In the first part, we're going to talk more with Sherry about the numbers, what's happened with the population of Illinois. In the second half, we're going to turn more to who is leaving Illinois and our best understanding of why. And for that, we're going to lean more on Michael Emerson, who's head of the sociology department at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Michael, thank you for being here as well. Welcome to the 21st.
Hey, I'm very much delighted to be here.
And for those of you out there listening, we want to hear from you, 800-222-9455. If you have a question about Illinois' population trend, what's behind those numbers, 800-222-9455. And as we get into talking about that apparent white flight reflected in the numbers, and we're going to have a more nuanced phrase for it than that, we'll come to that later, but we want to know, have you seen people leaving your area? What's behind their departure? 800-222-9455. We've already put a version of this question to people in our texting group. We'll be sharing some of your answers as we go along. But you can also call in now, 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. All right, Sherry, that's a lot of buildup. What is the big top line number with Illinois' population this year?
Well, first I have to give you kudos on the music. That was great. The census that occurs every 10 years, we call it the decennial census. And with that, it is a universal count of everybody. So that's why there was such a grassroots effort in our local communities to try to get everybody to participate in the census. And it was especially important for Illinois because we could have been on the fence for losing a second seat in the House of Representatives, which would have been bad. So luckily, we only lost one. So kudos to everybody out there that participated. Your efforts were definitely not in vain. It worked out very well for Illinois. There was no way we could recoup that first seat. But when the census number finally came out and Illinois only lost 18,124 people, which is a drop in the ocean compared to the almost 13 million that live within the state. To give you some perspective, it's 0.14%, so not even 1%. So it was a drop in the bucket, and it was really shocking to all of us because we were all listening to all of these reports of the mass exodus and stuff, as you had alluded to at the beginning of this session. So what in the world happened? And basically, it boils down to methodologies and where exactly the Census Bureau gets their information and publishes that data from.
Yeah, well, let's get into that, right? Because as you said, we heard the montage there. People are fleeing Illinois. There's an exodus. These biblical metaphors people were pulling out. I myself reported one of those stories when I was a state house reporter. I like to think I was a little more nuanced than some of the more sensational versions of that are reported. But okay, different methodologies. Without getting into, you know, a million different numbers and making our listeners who might be driving, you know, sort of go into a coma and drive off the road. What are some of the ways that people are counted that led to this? Basically, I would say big misunderstanding, or maybe that's not the right phrase. How would you characterize it? You know, at one point we thought we could be down 171,000 people in this state, depending on, you know, one of the surveys you looked at. So what's going on there?
Sure. I wouldn't even classify it as a misunderstanding. Everything that has been reported by all the journalists over the last, well, since 2013, Illinois has been reported as losing population. Now, the last decennial census, if you recall, was in 2010. So how could we be reporting loss since 2013? And that's only because the Census Bureau also does what's called the American Community Survey. And the key word there is survey. It is just a sample of the population. So it's not going to pick up on nuances that are changing within our population numbers. And so while we could see that we were starting to lose population in 2013, depending upon which survey you actually took a look at, it would show different tipping points, which the 1 5-year American Community Survey, there's different year averages that the Census Bureau publishes, is still showing a population gain of almost 25,000 people. So it depends upon what actual data set you are coming from, what years you are looking at. You're going to show a much greater loss if you only go from 2013 to 2019, as opposed to 2010 when we were gaining population through 2019. So there's a lot of different combinations that you can use in order to get different kinds of numbers. And so it just depends on which data set you're looking at and for which years.
All right, Michael Emerson, there is a from a pure demographic standpoint, there are relatively few variables that make up the equation for population change, right? Can you talk about what those are?
Yeah, there's just three. How many births do you have? How many deaths do you have? And then migration. And of course, migration is people leaving and people arriving. So those are the components.
And I mean, what are sort of your basic understanding of what's happening in Illinois in terms of those different areas overall, before we have to, you know, before we get into different demographic groups?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our birth rate in Illinois has been declining for some time now. And we always say the magic number is this, that you need 2.1 births per female to replace your population. And the 0.1 there is due to deaths that will happen. And so Illinois has gone below 2.0. So we don't replace ourselves anymore. So we'll decline in population unless we can have a net in-migration of people.
And what has been the story there in terms of net in-migration, right? I mean, is it accurate that people are leaving Illinois in these tens of thousands of numbers we're hearing, and maybe we're just not accounting for the birth rate or in-migration?
It's interesting. If you look at the data, in terms of people leaving this state, we're right in the middle of the pack, you know, about 21st in terms of that. So there's nothing particularly unusual about how many people are leaving. But where we are performing very poorly is in attracting people. So we are third to last in the nation in attracting new people to move into our state.
Okay, and I want to hold off on getting more into that and why that might be. We're going to come to that a little later in the conversation. But Sherry, and maybe I'll just take a moment now to reintroduce both of you. We've been speaking with Michael Emerson, who's head of the sociology department at the University of Illinois Chicago, and Sherry Taylor, who's a senior research specialist at NIU in their Center for Governmental Studies there. We're taking a deeper dive into the census population figures in Illinois that came out, that have been coming out this year. Illinois did not lose nearly as much population as a lot of the headlines and political talking points we've all been subjected to for the better part of the last decade would have led us to believe. And Sherry, you talked a little earlier about the differences between some of the interim surveys the census does versus the decennial census itself. And you said that, I mean, the 2020 census is the benchmark of everything. I do want to ask about why you think that, as opposed to survey data. We had one of our, I mentioned our texting group, and listeners are welcome to call in now at 800-222-9455. But a listener named Kathy sent us a text message, said she has a hypothesis about our census results. She says, people don't just up and leave their lives, jobs, families. I suspect a large number of missing Illinoisans are anti-government, anti-vax, anti-census, pro-January 6thers. There are other ways to estimate population, taxes, homeownership, voter rolls, school enrollment, new apartments, etc. And Kathy says she's in serious doubt about the validity of the 2020 census conducted in an era of political and medical mis- and disinformation amid a raging pandemic. Set aside her, you know, individual political viewpoints expressed there, but I mean, I think that, you know, this is certainly a time of low trust in our society, right? That's been well established. Why do you have, or what gives you sort of confidence that the 2020 census is the benchmark and that's the most accurate understanding of Illinois' population?
The Census Bureau has had decades of experience in conducting the decennial census, and they also have certain standards that the data has to meet in order for them to publish the data. Now, you can say, well, of course, any agency would just go ahead and publish and say it's the latest and the greatest and not necessarily have those standards in place. But with the Census Bureau, if you go to their website right today, you will see a banner that states that they are not publishing the one-year American Community Survey data because it was impacted too greatly by COVID and it does not meet their standards. So if the data is not up to their standards for the decennial census, they would have postponed the publication of that data even further, which they already postponed several of their deadlines. So I do have confidence with the Census Bureau because if certain households do not respond to the census, they do have access to certain administrative data that the federal government holds in order to check that data that they did receive, as well as filling gaps for data that they did not receive.
When you dig into the numbers, do you see there were fears last year, obviously, about the pandemic, but even before that, about, in particular, there was an effort to put a citizenship question back on the census, which a lot of people felt could create fear among immigrants without legal status about participating in the census. Did that ultimately, even though that question wasn't on the final questionnaire, did that, do you have a sense of whether that actually did play a factor in sort of the response to the census?
It seems like it did. There were several lawsuits filed and we had several meetings discussing, you know, what the repercussions could be for minority communities if this question were actually included. But the bottom line of the citizenship question, it is already asked. And I don't think that information was readily published to everybody on a regular basis. The citizenship question is on the Census Bureau's American Community Survey. So they are asking that question every day. And it was going to be the same question put onto the census form. And the only benefit of putting it on the census form would have been to get more granularity of where exactly those folks lived. And the good thing is the Census Bureau cannot share that information, even with the federal government agencies. So I'm not quite sure where they were going to go with that information because it would not have been able to produce the kind of information I think they were seeking. And I think that's what led to the drop of the question from the census form. But that is a regular question that is asked. And there were other challenges. Obviously, the pandemic came into view right when they started going on the streets to talk to the households that had not replied online yet. It just coalesced at the same time, creating a perfect storm, and all their operations were interrupted, and all of their workers had to start working from their regular homes instead of going to the office. And so there were a lot of changes that took place that impacted a lot of the deadlines, and it does not look like it really impacted the data. We've been working with a lot of the data and testing the data because they also had some statistical complications that came into place. And so they've tried to overcome that and create a whole new algorithm in order to protect all of that data. And at this point, I'm pretty confident that they have a great algorithm in order to make sure that everybody's privacy is maintained and that our data is reliable.
Okay, we need to take a break on the show here. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about the census results. We're going to get more into the racial and ethnic breakdowns and talk about which populations in Illinois are growing, which are leaving, and why that might be. We're speaking with Sherry Taylor, who's a researcher at Northern Illinois University Center for Governmental Studies, and Michael Emerson, head of the Sociology Department at the University of Illinois Chicago. We'd love to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is our number. You're listening to The 21st. More to come. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Illinois' population and how it changed in the past decade. The Illinois only lost 18,124 people. That's despite a decade's worth of headlines about an exodus and people fleeing Illinois. Well, some people did leave Illinois. Other populations grew, and we're going to talk and get into that now, into some of those specifics. We're speaking with Sherry Taylor, a researcher at Northern Illinois University's Center for Governmental Studies, and Michael Emerson, head of the Sociology Department at the University of Illinois Chicago. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. We've heard from some of our listeners. One person wrote, "I am also leaving Illinois, taking my family with. Corruption and high taxes is enough to convince anyone that can move to do so." Pretty standard explanation we often hear for why people leave. Anne says, "I think people are leaving because while it's a nice place to live and work, it isn't a place to vacation. No beaches, no mountains, not particularly good weather." And Katie says, "I think this is a product of overall aging demographic. In Springfield, we aren't driving innovation to keep younger people here or returning here after college." 800-222-9455. Let us know what you think. All right, Sherry, we've been teasing this now. Which are the populations that are growing? Which are the ones that are leaving? What's actually happening out there? And Sherry, you might be muted. We're connecting by Zoom today, if you're still with us. All right. Well, while we work through what's going on with our connection there, Michael, let me turn to you and say, you know, what I think we would have heard from Sherry is that Latino and Asian populations are growing in Illinois. The white population is what's declining, and this is happening across the state. So what do you make of those numbers? What are some of the factors that you think the white population is the one that's declining?
Yeah, so it's such an interesting finding, right? We lose about 18,000, but when you break it down by racial group, we lose overall hundreds of thousands of whites. And then we're gaining, as you said, Latino and Hispanic and Asian and African-American are holding stable. So what's happening? There's a couple of factors. One is like, who tends to move? We know there's a correlation between race and levels of education and income, and people that are most mobile are high income people and highly educated. So if you have a college education, you're twice as likely to move out of state than if you have less than a college education. So that's one factor. I mean, it's an important factor of what's happening. But we're also seeing, so we might call that in some sense white flight. It could be for all sorts of reasons. But we also have something I would call white avoidance. So that white Americans from other states are simply looking at Illinois and saying, no, they're not coming here and near the numbers that are leaving. And that we could talk about why, but there are many, many reasons for that.
Yeah. Well, why is that? What is behind white avoidance? That's not a term that I was familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you think about when you're going to move somewhere else, usually people move for jobs or they think of housing. So they might be attracted by that. But there's also images that they have in their mind of where to be. So if you think of Florida, people do always think of sunshine and beaches. Florida's done a great job of advertising that. And of course, that's what they have. But if you've ever been to Texas, I mean, Texas is not all that interesting, but yet people move there in the millions because they've created this image of who they are and they're able to produce a lot of jobs. Illinois has the image of high crime, and it gets racialized, right? The crime it's in Chicago, and Chicago is Illinois. And I know that irritates anybody who doesn't live in Chicago, and it's unfair, but for people outside of Illinois, Chicago is the city. And so the image of Illinois is often shaped by that. So they see crime on TV, they see turmoil, they hear about political corruption, and that shapes them thinking, well, that's not where I want to go.
And this is you had an experience in China, right? Where that perception had even traveled that far.
Yeah, I had gone all the way to Shanghai, China to recruit students to the university, give this impassioned speech to parents in China that are thinking about sending their children here to the US. And, you know, it's all done through an interpreter. So I get back through the interpreter when it's time for questions. And the very first question is, yes, that sounds like an amazing university, but what about the crime in Chicago? How could it possibly be safe for our students? So, you know, we're on the other side of the world, and their very first question is this image I just talked about, that Illinois and Chicago is crime.
Sherry Taylor, I think you're back with us now.
I am.
Okay, great. So let's put some numbers on this. We've been speaking in the abstract. What has happened with the white population in Illinois and with some of the other demographic groups?
Well, all the counties in Illinois experienced white flight, as you termed it, with the only exception being Monroe County. And the Chicago metro area really lost the most population within the white community. But funny as that is, it was almost a replacement one-to-one from the Hispanic or Latino community. They have grown substantially throughout the entire state. And it's kind of surprising because typically they were housed in the Chicago metropolitan area and the other metropolitan areas throughout the state, but now they're starting to move out into the very rural communities, which is something new we haven't really seen. So Illinois is definitely continuing its diversification.
And where Illinois is losing population, where is that happening? Is it in Chicago? Is it in Chicagoland? Is it in downstate cities? Is it in rural areas?
Well, it's hard to say overall because there's a difference between numeric change and percentage change. And so numerically, Cook County lost the most, but they also gained the most as well. But there's so many more people that live there. The numbers are big, no matter which way you look at it. But as far as the rural communities, it seems like they're the ones that are really losing the most population. And that has been, you know, for the last couple of decades as family farms are on the decline and the manufacturing facilities are just not located anymore in those rural communities, making people to move out. Now, the only exception to that rule throughout the state was Carroll County, located in northwest Illinois. And Carroll County had a 2% increase in population, which was really surprising. But then when we took a look at it a little bit further to try to figure out why, it turns out the Thompson Prison actually opened in 2018, I believe it was, and that added about 1,500 people to their population count. So they showed a population increase, even though there was a great white flight from that county too, but that saved them.
Wow, that's interesting. Was that people who are imprisoned there, or was it workers who came to for the jobs when it opened?
It's actually both. Prisoners are counted where they are housed. And so there's been a push in order to count those prisoners where they were living, but that is only for apportionment. That is not for population counts. So those prisoners were counted in Carroll County as residents of Thompson.
Okay, let me take a moment to reintroduce my guests. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Sherry Taylor, who's a researcher at Northern Illinois University's Center for Governmental Studies, and Michael Emerson, head of the Sociology Department and professor at the University of Illinois, Chicago. And Michael, when we talk about the why of white people who are leaving Illinois, I mentioned white flight. You offered this idea of white avoidance, which is once a place gets a reputation or is seen as diverse, basically white people don't want to move there. And I guess I want to ask you, and this is maybe more of a philosophical question, but whether this is, you know, can be considered racism, right? We heard from one listener who texted us and said I don't know if it's a she or he, but they felt compelled to say, to those who are in flight, good riddance. May I help you pack your bags? John wrote in to say white flight looks like a bunch of short-sighted racist idiots who think that moving to another state to save $1,000 in taxes will bring them endless happiness because they'll be surrounded by a bunch of whites. He goes on to say, let them go. We're better off. And when they run out of water and affordable housing wherever they move to, we'll tell them they're not allowed back home. So I guess, Michael, take that where you will. What do people say? Yes, I'm afraid of, you know, I don't like the way my neighbor. I mean, you don't really hear that from people anymore, right? In terms of the racial composition of their neighborhood or anything.
You don't hear it officially, like on surveys. I'll certainly hear it, and when we're talking informally, like if you're perceived by white folks as being a safe white person, like you can be trusted, you'll hear that. But we've gotten fairly advanced in how we try to study this. And yes, I can say for a fact, at least when we're talking about local areas, whites on average, right, there's always exceptions, simply won't look at areas that are diverse. It just will not consider them as areas to move to. So they're immediately taken off the table, and then other areas are looked at. A lot of the I chuckled at some of the comments. They're very straightforward, but there's some truth in that, in the sense that when we look at people leaving Illinois, the white people leaving, they are tending to go to more white metropolitan areas and to the areas of those metropolitan areas that are more white. So, you know, they're going to Minneapolis or Phoenix or Denver, as opposed to going to, you know, Houston or New York or something like that. So, yes, it is a factor. It's in our research, it shows it over and over and over again. It just is always a factor that matters.
So we've talked about, you know, so some of the factors in making people more mobile: higher wealth, higher education. We know there's a wealth gap, generally speaking, between white Americans and other groups, especially African Americans. That's well documented. I wonder, when white people leave a state or a community and they take generational wealth with them, what does that do to the community left behind in terms of resources, in terms of reputation?
Look, it's a bad thing, right? It's, if you can build your wealth here and then you take it, that is, it's like a double whammy on the state. The state provided a dynamic sense of being able to make a living, a good living, and then when it's time to be able to retire and re-spend that money here in the state, you take it. So the state, one, was providing the whole time, and then you take what you were able to earn and you take it somewhere else. I always think, you know, the kind of the retirement states of Florida's and Arizona's, Texas, you know, they gain so unfairly in my mind because they didn't do anything for it. It's just they happen to have weather people want or something. But yeah, it's devastating.
Yeah, and I mentioned we heard that message from people. Where are people, Sherry? Where do we know where people are going when they leave Illinois?
Well, we do to a certain extent. There are several different data sets that we can take a look at to try to get a sense of where folks are going. And what's surprising is Indiana and Wisconsin are the top two states that folks are going to. So it's not the weather that they're trying to escape. It's something else that's going on. And I know with Indiana, if you travel the 80-94 corridor to cross the boundary, they had literally billboards up saying Indiana is open for business, come here to work, and all this. And they really had a marketing campaign to try to steal our folks out of Illinois. And I think to a certain extent, it definitely worked. Texas, California, and Florida are always popular for especially retirees trying to get away from shoveling snow. And so those are always popular destinations. But Indiana, Wisconsin, Missouri, Iowa all had high proportions of Illinois residents moving into their states.
All right, let's go now to the phones. Arliss is on the line from McChesney Park. Arliss, thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you.
I understand you're a bi-state person.
Right. What they call a snowbird, because I go to Florida in the winter, and I'm here in Winnebago County, and during the summer I come back about April and leave in toward the end of December or November, depending, because I have to be here when the trees change. It's so gorgeous.
And I mean, have you seen a lot of your peers make that similar leap to being snowbirds?
The people from Rockford tend to go to a different area than I'm in, but there are a lot of them down there. And people from Michigan, people from a lot of Michigan, a lot of Canada, and New York.
Have you ever considered making the move permanent?
No, not yet. And what I wanted to say is, I got counted in Florida because I was there, but I consider Illinois my home, and it's where I vote, and it's where I'm involved with the political system.
Oh, sure. Well, that makes sense, I guess, right? Because I think the census sets a certain date, and wherever you are on that date is where you're counted. All right. All right. Well, Arliss, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate hearing from you. Michael, we're coming to the end of our time. I guess... I wonder if there's any sort of big picture. What you know? Do you have any sense of policy prescriptions? What you know? This is people always want to turn this conversation to. What should we be doing about this?
So, look, represents the whole state, right? But Chicago is what we call a global city. It's ranked as the seventh most important city in this entire planet. That's something we ought to be celebrating and advertising. And the beauty of downstate, and as we just heard, you know, the fall colors, et cetera. We have to do a marketing campaign. I know we do. We have to be even more out there, better at it. You know, we talk about, we're losing a lot of 18 and 19 year old students, and they're going to other states to college because they are being directly recruited from Illinois. Illinois is targeted as, and so I think we actually have the highest number of students who leave our state to go elsewhere. I'm self-interested at great universities here. They ought to be here. We want their brain power here. We want what they can bring to us. So, yeah, we have to start changing the narrative.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And Kent is on the line, and I'm sorry. Kent is calling from south of Charleston, Illinois. I don't think we're going to have time to take your call, but he said he has three kids who are no longer in Illinois. They went to college in other states because it was less expensive. Kent, thank you for calling in. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have for this conversation. So I want to thank Michael Emerson and Sherry Taylor for being with us today. Thank you for taking some time out of your morning to be with us today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Michael Emerson is head of the sociology department at the University of Illinois Chicago. Sherry Taylor is researcher at NIU's Center for Governmental Studies. We heard a couple of mentions of autumn leaves there, fall foliage. We're going to be talking about that in our next segment here on the 21st. That's coming up after a short break. Stay with us.